Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Now, on to our show.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are so glad that you are tuning in today. I hope today is finding you well. It's Friday. It's good news, right? Very cool stuff. For those of you that are working the Monday through Friday kind of deal, you're pretty pumped about the weekend, I am sure. We are taking your calls. The phone number is 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. And of course, we're always taking your emails at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. The 2016 Summer Olympics are here. Did you know that? You need to know that. Come on now. Tune in. We're pretty excited about it around here at Ramsey Solutions. After we chat with a few of you today, we're going to have some quick calls here at the beginning of our broadcast. We'll be talking with the 2004 Olympic silver medalist and the 2008 Beijing Olympics decathlete gold medalist, Brian Clay. And his story is so encouraging. So you don't want to miss that later on in the broadcast. Again, the number is 866-357-3283, and we're going to take a few of your calls as we get started. First on the line, it looks like we've got Chris. He's calling in from Pasadena, California. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show here.
Yeah, honored. How can I help?
Well, I got some questions on basically how I can get more dialed in with debt snowball and on the baby step system.
I love to hear that.
My wife and I are married now for about 9 months, and we're kind of getting on the same team and path, if you will, for our finances. So we've got about $32,000 in debt from school loans. We actually went to APU, which is where Brian Clay trained, and so anyways,
that's cool
thing there as far as you're talking to him later on. But so $32,000 in debt. We're both nurses, and so we're fortunate to be making about $92,000 a year, and we have saved up already $26,000. So it's kind of like, well, how much of my savings do we allocate towards knocking down more of our student loans?
Pretty much all of it.
All of it. So you're thinking, hey, keep that. I know. I'm like, babe, I think that we should maybe get rid of this, but I don't know. So I thought I'd call and see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I totally get it. I know how good it feels to have savings. It feels just so secure, and it feels great. The bottom line is it's sitting there in that money market account or that savings account, and it's getting 0.0001% interest while you're paying, I don't know, anywhere from 6 to 20% on your debt.
Yeah.
So I like you putting 25. Did you say 26 in savings?
Yeah, I've got 26 in savings right now.
Yeah, 25 of that 26, I would absolutely crush your debt, and so that would leave you with 10 left, and you make 92K. So I would think that the remainder you could get done in, what, 3 to 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in 6 months from now, you're completely debt-free. You have no payments except for your mortgage or your rent payment. That is love and life. And then you build that savings right back up.
Yeah, really.
The bottom line is Proverbs 6:5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And that means getting after it. And we keep our debt around subconsciously, and I'm not just talking about you, Chris. I'm talking about all of us. The research shows that so many people are carrying debt that's kind of normal. So subconsciously, what we do is we compare our level of debt with other stories that we hear, another person, or the payment that we can afford. Ah, it's just $250 a month for this debt or whatever it may be. And what we need to do is weigh that debt against the truth. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So that's what I want you to do. Take 25 of the 26, smack that debt right in the teeth, and be on a 3 to 6 month plan with your budgeting to get rid of the rest. And then you're going to build up that savings again. We really, really appreciate the call.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vander Blumen's search group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit VanderBlumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Well, this is Chris Brown. I'm your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls, 866-357-3283, and we're super excited about having Brian Clay on the show in just a little bit. And this next call comes in from Kevin. He's in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help?
All right. So basically, my question is, I am wondering, I've got about $11,000 in savings, and I owe about $10,000 on a vehicle. And I'm wondering, what's more important, paying off my debt or having savings?
Both. They're both important. Do them both. No, I know what you're asking. Which one's priority? I'm paying off that. I'm paying off the car immediately. I'm getting that out, the debt first. The thing is Proverbs 6:5 says, "Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter." There's another verse in the Bible, and lots just this whole saving principles in the Bible as well. But Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise is choice food and oil." Talking about saving. So you got both in there. Right? But the understanding is that when you're saving, that there is no debt, because debt is not a wise principle. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. So when it talks about savings, the understanding, the assumption is that we don't have debt, because that's not something that we need to do from a wisdom standpoint. It's not necessarily a sin issue. It's just a wisdom issue. And so, yeah, you want to get out of debt as soon as possible. Now, it may be possible for you to downsize your car or sell the car. And so, you know, you could have the savings and have a $1,000 car and have both. So that's another option. But if you feel like a $10,000 car is reasonable for your income, then that's what I would do. I would pay off the car, and then I'd start to, now that you have no other consumer debt, that's all you got, then start building up the savings right after that, the next day.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way I would go forward.
And I wanted to get a cheaper car, but I got 5 kids, and it's tough to fit 7 people in a cheap car.
I could imagine. What's your income, Kevin?
About $70,000 a year.
Yeah, so $70,000 a year, and you got a $10,000 car. That's not too much car.
Yeah.
Whether it's worth $5,000 or worth $50,000, regardless, we don't want debt on it. So that's what I would do first. We really, really appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Well, I have a quick question for you guys. If there was only one thing you needed to do to save hundreds of dollars right now, would you do it? Of course you would. Well, a crazy number of people overpay for, check this out, insurance. I know no one is excited to talk about insurance. It's boring, and sometimes it's complicated and confusing, but hang with me, because it's easy to save hundreds of dollars when it comes to insurance. The trick is to find an independent agent. These agents work for you, not the insurance company. Did you get that? They work for you to shop around and find the best policy for your family and your budget. We have a network of agents in our endorsed local provider program who are local experts with the heart of a teacher. They provide top-notch service that you can trust. And check this out, it's absolutely a free service. Go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP, and get connected with an independent agent in your area. Well, folks, we are excited about what's next here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are here. We're on Olympic week, and we're going to be talking with Brian Clay, four-time U.S. national champion, three-time world champion, the 2004 Olympic silver medalist, and the 2008 Olympic gold medalist in the decathlon, earning him the historic title of world's greatest athlete. All these athletic achievements, also an author, speaker, advisor, ambassador of active, healthy living, and a husband and father of three. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, super honored to have you. Your story is so inspirational, and I just know that our audience here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship can glean a lot from the perseverance and the stewardship that that you've been through. Now, you you wrote about your story in the book Redemption.
Yeah.
And I love the tagline, "A rebellious spirit, a praying mother, and the unlikely path to Olympic gold." And I read a description of those early years that said, "By the grace of God, Brian went from being a fist-fighting, drug-using, pre-suicidal kid in Hawaii to world champion in the toughest Olympic sport." Can you tell us a little bit about those early years?
Yeah, you know, first of all, thanks for having me. You know, this is always fun for me to be able to share a little bit about my testimony and just kind of what God's taught me over the years and what he's brought me from. And I always like to start out by letting people know that, you know, I didn't have the worst life growing up. I think if you look around, you know, at your next door neighbors or down the street, or, I mean, even if we want to look as far as, you know, in other countries, there are people that definitely had it harder than I did. But growing up for me, you know, it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't something that I would have planned out. And so along with being a kid and not having necessarily the control over, you know, decisions and things that my parents made and then how that affected me and those types of things, you know, it kind of set me on a path that was a little destructive. And it all started, my parents, you know, got married and had myself and my brother. And after a few years, I think I was about 12 or 11 or 12, my parents decided to get a divorce. And before that, life was pretty rough. As you can imagine, you know, people don't decide to get divorced overnight. It usually leads to, or it stems from trouble that's happening before that. And so there was years and years of fighting and abuse and verbal abuse and physical abuse. And there were drugs and things like that were happening in the house. And I had a few years to watch those types of behaviors. And you can imagine how that started to affect me as a young child growing up. And so my mom had become a Christian through a whole set of circumstances. And as she became a Christian, my dad was not at the place where he was ready to be a Christian. And that caused even more trouble as they got divorced. And through all the turmoil that was going on before that, I became a very angry child. I always tell people the only emotion I knew was anger. And so when I got, you know, I didn't really know how to be happy. And when I got sad, I got angry. And when I got angry, I got enraged. And I didn't know how to handle that. And I didn't know how to talk through that or who to talk to about that. And so that caused a lot of issues and put me in touch with the wrong people and started making the bad decisions. And then with all that negative attention with being out and doing all these things, you can imagine how that starts to affect your psyche as a little kid. Mm-hmm. And I started to wonder, you know, what would it be like if I wasn't here? You know, I started to ask myself, would anybody even care if I wasn't around anymore? And that became something that kind of got stuck in my head and I couldn't get past. And so then, you know, you slowly start to experiment with, well, you know, what if I wasn't here, you know, how would that look and what would it feel like and how would I do it? And so I started drawing pictures and doing things to myself where I would say I just started experimenting with things. Mm. You know, you start experimenting with, can you feel pain? Does it feel good? You know, that sort of thing. And right about when I was doing that, my mom found some pictures that I drew of myself in the back of my desk drawer. And she got me involved in counseling. And the counselor said, you need to get Brian involved in sports if you want him to be around and you don't want him to be dead or in jail in the next few years. And so that was kind of my start into athletics.
Yeah, you say in the book that track and field saved my life. It's a pretty strong statement. How did God orchestrate going from this angry, rebellious kid to being a willing participant in track and field?
I always tell people when I look at my life, I always ask myself, why, God? Why did you bless me with the abilities and the things that you've given me? Why did I get to win the gold medal? Is there somebody out there that deserved the gold medal more than I did? Mm. Maybe was a little more obedient than I was, maybe didn't go through all the bad decisions that I went through. Just those types of things. And I feel like the answer is always yes to that question. Is there somebody out there that deserves it more than me? Yeah. So then the question for me is, why me? And it took me a little while to kind of figure that out, but I started to realize as I was trying to answer that question that the reason why I think God has blessed me with the gold medal and things like that is because he wants me to go out and share about God's faithfulness in my life. Listen, I was on the wrong track. I was doing everything wrong. I wanted nothing to do with God. I was so turned off by faith because of how my life was turning out. It was nothing but the grace of God that brought the right people into my life, that helped my mom make the right decisions, helped me make the right decisions at times when I didn't even know that I was making a decision that would put me on a path to do that. Even in a small, young punk kid that didn't want to have anything to do with him, but he was still there guiding and shaping and putting me in the places that he wanted me to be in.
Yeah, one of the parts of your story that is so inspiring is you speak a lot about the constant prayers of your mom.
Yes.
You mentioned your mom and you mentioned the grace of God. How did these prayers impact you in your journey?
My mom, the first thing that my mom did was my mom prayed all the time. And there were times when I still sometimes, I love her to death, but sometimes I feel like she's just a little bit cuckoo when it comes down to praying, she will pray about everything. I can vividly remember throughout my childhood, going to the mall and my mom, praying for a parking stall and, that's close to the front door, and she'd pray out loud in the car and I'd be like, Mom, do you really think God cares whether or not you get a parking stall? Like he's got so many other big things to be worried about. And then she, I'd hear her, we'd be driving and an ambulance would drive by and, have its lights and sirens on. And she'd, say a prayer for whoever the ambulance was going to go pick up or was transporting. And I'm like, Mom, you can't just throw prayers up like this, like this is not how you pray. But one of the things that I learned from my mom and that I even put into practice for myself today, or I try to put in practice for myself today, is that God is always listening. And it's not one of these things where you have to get down on your knees. And there are times when you get down on your knees and do that sort of stuff. But this idea that the relationship that you have with Christ is this ebb and flow. And it's an all day 24/7, relationship. And just like I would, have a conversation with my son as I'm, driving down the street or like he might ask me a question about, the ambulance is driving by and why, where it's going and that sort of thing. Just like you can have conversations like that. You can have conversations with God and he's always available. He's always there. He's always listening. The thing that always impressed me is my mom would pray for things like that. And so often, it's like the prayer was answered. She'd find the parking stall, somebody would pull out right in front of her. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I know that sounds a little petty and that sort of thing, but it really was something that that made a difference and had an impact on me in terms of just memories that I had of growing up. I remember my mom being on her knees for hours and hours and hours when she was going through the divorce with my dad. She would go into her room and close the door and I could hear her praying for hours and crying and sobbing and just praying. Those are some of the memories we had. And so she gave God everything that she had. And I don't think God expected her to be perfect. I think God wanted her best. And some of those days, her best were barely getting out of bed, her best days, we were out at the park and we were playing and everything was going just perfect. But either way, she gave her best. She never lost faith. And I think that's something that God honored. And I talk about that a little bit in the book as well.
It's such a great reminder for us about the power of prayer. So oftentimes we are in need of something. We've got something that's definitely feeling out of hand, and we'll try to do everything we can first and then pray last instead of doing it the other way around. And it's such also a good reminder of, you know, folks, you've had those moments where you have felt led to pray and you thought that it would feel a little bit cuckoo. You thought you'd be a little bit too spiritual for the situation. And now you see how Brian is looking back at those days, looking at the way he views his mom. And although it can seem a little bit over-spiritual for the situation, now you can, this is such a good reminder for us of the impression that that made on his life years and years later, that it's not cuckoo that stuck with him. It's actually powerful. It's close with God, the intimacy with God. So if you're in that moment, folks, where you think, oh, it's going to be a little too spiritual, just know that people are spiritually going to respect that. Well, this next part of your story, it's well known. As I said before, four-time U.S. national champion, three-time world champion, the 2004 Olympic silver medalist, 2008 Olympic gold medalist. When all of that necessary training you had to put into that was all over, how did you determine what was next in your life?
Oh, man. You know, it was tough. For every single day of the year, I knew exactly what I needed to do. You know, I knew how fast I needed to run. I knew how high I needed to jump or how far I needed to jump by the centimeter. I mean, and had it planned out for years in advance, you know, 4 years in advance sometimes. And so to go from that kind of structure in your life to all of a sudden one morning waking up and being like, huh, what do I want to do today? I just didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything. And so I started to realize that some of the skills that I used in my track and field career, some of the drive, the integrity, just my character, were all skills that I could take and use. So I kind of jumped into the entrepreneurial world, and I started two different companies. I've got two startup companies right now. One's a group fitness franchise, which we call ETF Fitness, and got a small tech company that we started where we built a fitness app tracker, and it tells you, it's an effort app is what we call it. It tells you how hard you're working out on a scale of 0 to 100. And that's been great. It's been unbelievable, and I've been having so much fun doing all of it.
Well, when I think about your life and I think about the theme of this show, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory, I think about what you've been blessed with. One of those things you've been blessed with is your athletic ability. Another one is your platform. And the way I see it is, you know, this season, everything has kind of shifted a little bit. And too much is given, much is required. And so you've taken the parable of the talents very seriously. And you said, okay, now how do I take what God has given me and go make the most of it? And so you've done that not only with all these ventures and stayed diversified, which Ecclesiastes 11:2 tells us to do, but you've also written this book for us, Redemption, A Rebellious Spirit, A Praying Mother, and The Unlikely Path to the Olympic Gold. And of course, folks, we will have the link to that book right there at stewardship.com. And you're an inspiring guy, and we are really, really honored that you've been on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, quickly in closing, you had mentioned the talents. And so often we say, okay, what's the one thing that God wants me to do in this world? And I think a lot of times we kind of paint ourselves into a corner because we feel like there's this one thing that God wants us to do. And if we're not doing that one thing, then He's not going to bless anything. And we're never going to reach the level of success that we want to because we're not walking in His will, so to speak. And what I've learned is that I need to look at things a little differently. I think God has given us all gifts and talents, and He presents opportunities to us every single day, all day long. And what I think He calls us to do is He calls us to in faith, look at each one of those opportunities and figure out how we can use our talents and the gifts that He's given us in those individual opportunities. And some of those things might just be for a day. They might just be for a week. And some of those things might continue to have doors open as we pursue them. But I think God what he wants to do is be excellent in everything that we do. And as we do that, I think he'll begin to open more and more doors for us, and he'll make the path that we're supposed to take that much more clear. And that's what I've been trying to do in my life lately with all the opportunities that he's given me. And there have been a few that have risen to the top that he's continued to open doors in. And when those doors close, I'll move on to the next opportunities that he's brought into my life. But so far, it has been an absolute blessing for me and a journey for me. And I couldn't be any happier right now.
That is incredible. That was some stewardship masterclass right there, and really appreciate your insight. Thank you for sharing that. Folks, go to stewardship.com. Get a link for anything you need to know about Brian Clay. We want to make sure that we connect you with him. Website and all the social links. We're going to provide all of those right there at stewardship.com. Very, very insightful stuff. The name of the book again is Redemption, A Rebellious Spirit, A Praying Mother, and the Unlikely Path to Olympic Gold. Folks, you've been listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. Our guest today was the one and only Brian Clay. Folks, don't forget, if you want to save hundreds of dollars right away, and just go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP and get started with an independent insurance agent in your area. Folks, it's been a pleasure, and enjoy the Olympics. God bless you.